Ding Dong, Aliens Calling by Neural Splice, copyright 2005 by Michael L. Cope, audiobook copyright 2025. All rights reserved. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used in any other way without prior written permission from the copyright holder. For inquiries, use the contact information at neuralsplice.com. NEURALSPLYCE.com. 3 sweltering days hammered John Black Crow with a migraine as persistent as the oppressive Kansas summer sun. He swallowed a pill to moderate the migraine before heading to his cornfield. Sweat trickled down his weathered face as he inspected ears of corn for the telltale signs of kernel shrinkage, no doubt. The harvest needed to start today, or he risked further financial losses. John's brow furrowed as he spotted a swath of flattened and trampled corn. He swore under his breath, irritated at the thought of sacrificing a morning of harvesting in order to round up loose cattle. The trampled corn stalks led to a cluster of cows with their heads down. The closest cow was facing away from him. Through the shimmering heat mirage, it appeared to pick up an ear of corn, strip off the husk, and shove the ear into its mouth. John rubbed his eyes.
This must be the side effects the doctor mentioned.
He approached the cow and swatted at the animal's rump.
Shoo! Shoo! Get back to your pen!
Startled, the creature turned to face him. Its face was short and more primate than bovine in appearance. Intelligent eyes locked onto his. The being gave a slight bow and said,
Shoo! Shoo!
The alien he had swatted then spoke in halting but recognizable Cheyenne.
Zake hao hepe.
Unaccustomed to hearing the Cheyenne language, the words took a moment to register. John's mind reeled as the reality of the situation sank in. He stammered.
Am I a buffalo keeper? No, there haven't been bison or more than a handful of Cheyenne in Kansas for almost 200 years.
The alien's expression turned disappointed, and he emitted a mournful sigh.
Buffalo friends gone so sad.
He gestured towards the trampled corn stalks.
What is this delicious grass?
Corn. I grow it for my cattle and to sell.
Ah, you are a trader then?
The creature engaged in a rapid conversation with his companions, punctuated by frequent excited moos. He turned back to John, his eyes radiant with joy.
I am Saprokatlinohonian. We seek your...
He paused, then switched to Cheyenne.
Go, haini tahanke.
Embarrassment flushed John's cheeks as he struggled to translate the words.
I don't know any trade ministers, Zaprok. Tell an Ohioan. Let me make some phone calls.
Franklin Isaiah Wardy III had been mayor of the small Kansas town of Clear Creek for nearly 7 years. It was an easy job that gave him ample time to manage the town's only convenience store. He sat in the mayor's office eating a late lunch while scrutinizing the quarterly sales report for his store. The store's finances, like the town's, were slowly bleeding into the red. Lewis Mayhew, the assistant mayor and Franklin's brother-in-law, walked in as Franklin was finishing his root beer.
It's Sheriff Tibbetts out on John Black Crow's farm. He says there are some aliens from outer space that would like to talk with you.
Franklin coughed, spitting soda on the sales report.
Aliens? This is a joke, right?
No swears he's not making it up. Bona fide little green men from Mars, except they're not green. Or from Mars.
Black Crow spoke with them.
Yep, says a couple of them know English real well. Says they want to speak to our trade minister. He figured since you're the mayor and own the Five and Dime store.
Franklin rose from his chair and followed Lewis into the city council chambers where they kept a CB radio. He pressed the handset.
Hey, Sheriff, it's Mayor Wardy. You certain John isn't on another spiritual journey, over?
Hey, Mayor, they're not peyote-fueled hallucinations. I've seen them too, and I'm stone sober, over.
These aliens? Are we talking E.T. or the Predator, over?
I haven't seen anything that looks like a weapon. They're docile vegetarians. John's dogs seem to like them too.
If the dogs trust them, that's good enough for me. Me and Lewis will be there in a half hour, assuming my truck doesn't break down again. Over and out.
He grabbed his rarely worn sports jacket and threw it on over his t-shirt, slipped on his better pair of work boots, and headed for his rattletrap pickup truck. Franklin drove his red and black GMC Sierra up the dusty trail leading from the main road to John Blackcrow's house. Stopped on a small hill, he spotted the alien spaceship parked in the cornfield. The ship looked like a giant Chinese fortune cookie and not the silver saucer he expected. From this distance, he couldn't see anything resembling windows or wings. He and Lewis exited the truck and let John's dog sniff at them. Franklin grabbed his briefcase and they approached the house, their boots crunching on gravel. Franklin stuck out his hand to shake.
John, always a pleasure to see you. How's your farm doing?
Mayor Warty, good to see you too. I was planning to bring in my corn today until the aliens arrived.
What can you tell me about them?
Their leader calls himself Zaprok something or other. Collectively, they call themselves envoys of Ruminantria. They're in my barn eating corn like a kid with candy on Halloween.
May want to hold off on the harvest. If they like corn as much as you say, it might be more valuable in trade with them.
John shifted one leg in front of the other, his left hand resting on his small beer belly.
Business advice like that is why I called you.
Do they have any weapons?
None that I could see.
John removed his greasy cat diesel ball cap to run his fingers through his sweaty black hair.
They were carrying some boxes which I suppose could hide a weapon.
What happened next?
The leader started speaking in Cheyenne.
Cheyenne? That's odd. What did he say?
I didn't understand all of it. He knows more Cheyenne words than me. I managed to figure out he was asking for someone that handles buying and selling trade goods. That's when I called Sheriff Tibbetts to write a report for a crop damage insurance claim and to relay a message to you.
A warm breeze blew a light cloud of dust off the dirt path, forcing them to turn their heads away from it. The dogs, apparently bored, trotted to the backside of the house. Lewis used the opportunity to jump into the conversation.
The sheriff mentioned they speak English, too.
Yes. When they heard me use English, they stopped speaking in Cheyenne.
Speaking of which, where is the good sheriff?
John pointed to his barn.
He's with the aliens up in the hayloft. They aren't used to all the sunlight, and they're still hungry.
Franklin blinked rapidly, started to say something, stopped, then started again.
So you took them to the hayloft?
You'll understand when you see 'em.
John led Franklin and Lewis past his giant Massey Ferguson combine tractor and up to the hayloft in the top of the barn. Franklin experienced his second shock of the day when he looked inside. The aliens didn't look like little gray men with bulging heads. The closest thing he could compare them to was the centaurs in the old stop-motion Sinbad the Sailor movie. Their bodies were not much larger than a full-grown cow. Instead of a cow neck, they had squat, human-like torsos with two child-sized arms. Sheriff Tibbetts was chatting with a brown and white-spotted alien that was the only one not munching on hay. The sheriff and a deputy had built a makeshift table by stacking hay bales in the center of the floor and throwing a plywood sheet over them. Upon seeing the mayor, he stopped talking to the alien and approached Franklin.
Right friendly critters.
Says they come from a planet that looks a lot like Kansas.
Bet that's why they invented spaceships.
To get out of there as fast as they could, only to end up here.
Lewis looked at both men.
Do you think they heard we're the squatter state and are planning to live here?
We'll soon find out.
Franklin took a seat at one end of the makeshift plywood table. The pleasant smell of hay, feed grain and cattle, reminded him of what he missed by being cooped up in an office all day. Sheriff Tibbetts spoke to the alien leader.
This here's the man you asked to see.
The brown and white spotted alien settled on his hindquarters at the opposite end of the table.
We come to you in peace to trade with you. We have made agreements with 14 other alien races. Only once have we had to use our superior weaponry to force them into a mutual trade agreement. Naturally, we will serve as a middleman for trade with all of them as well. We do not need to reach an agreement today. However, I'm sure when you see the marvels of our superior technology, you will choose the obvious path of peaceful negotiation.
Lewis leaned toward Franklin from his own patio chair and whispered,
"Did he just say, trade with us or else?"
Franklin raised his eyebrows and said yes with his eyes. He then spoke in a booming, formal voice.
"My name is Franklin Wordy. I am the mayor of the town. That means I am the leader. I am also a businessman, skilled in trade."
Those titles sound appropriate unless you have a dedicated trade executive?
No, sir, we don't. Hope that's not a problem.
If you are authorized to ratify trade agreements, then you will suffice. My name is Zaprok Talinohonian, and I am the High Minister of Purchasing and Acquisition for the Ruminantrian Trade Fleet. I understand it is your custom to use short names to address each other. My friends on other worlds call me Zaprok.
Well then, I'd like to be your friend, Zaprok.
Our fleet of trade ships and battleships is just outside the orbit of your planet. We have many trade goods from our journey. We desire to establish a trade route to share the amazing products of our advanced race with you.
Let's see what you have to sell, my friend.
The aliens accompanying Zaprok presented an array of products with a practiced flourish, obviously intended to amaze an audience with their complexity. The first was a boxy object the size of a pack of cigarettes. When Zaprok depressed a lever, it produced a small flame. The next object was a piece of rough plant fiber paper, which he explained could be used to record images and words to share with others. To demonstrate, he strapped a small cylinder to his forearm that had a small hose leading to an airbrush-like nozzle he slipped on his pointer finger. Tracing his finger across the paper, he drew a crude-looking tree. Franklin's excitement turned to disappointment as he thought,
"Oh, great, he's a cheesy door-to-door salesman."
He expressed his disappointment to the alien.
"I'm sorry, but we're just not interested in gadgets. Do you have something else to sell us?"
"I can understand your hesitation. The necessity of new technology is not obvious until you learn to use it. Since you are first-time customers, here is what we are willing to do. We will let you have as many as you want for half price, and we will teach you how to use them for free. That is a better deal than even the smuskanoids get. What do you say?"
The mayor pulled some items from his briefcase and rose from his seat. He approached the alien objects on the table and placed a Bic lighter, a notepad, and a ballpoint pen above them.
"Not to seem impolite, but is this the superior technology you had to show us?"
Zaprok and the other aliens looked flabbergasted.
"Why did you not mention you were already in a trade partnership? Whom did you get these from?"
Franklin mentally kicked himself for making a rookie mistake.
"Dumb mistake. Never admit to having a surplus."
"How can this be when our scout ships were here only 300 Earth years ago? The dominant species was the buffalo. They were not interested in trade, so our scouts made contact with men of your kind living in houses made of buffalo skins. The men had no technology."
"Well, yes, 300 years ago this land was overrun by buffalo. The peoples you met were what we call Indians or Native Americans like John Black Crow. Until a century ago, my people considered them primitive."
"So then you do understand the necessity for less advanced herds to submit to those that are advanced."
Lewis, an enthusiast of Old West history, addressed the Ruminantrians.
"Our herd, known as the white man, was living on the eastern seaboard of this continent 300 years ago. 200 years ago, they moved west."
"What happened to the herds that were living here?"
The buffalo were heavily hunted and most of the Native American herds were forced to move away when more advanced herds like my own found them.
We do not like to use violence to convince planets to buy our products. Our superior technology is enough to convince them we could destroy them if we ever desired to. We have never met a race until now that was half as advanced as ours.
We no longer think that way. Instead, we prefer to coexist together and trade goods and culture peacefully.
Lewis leaned over and snickered in the mayor's ear.
Wait till we show him something more complex than a ballpoint pen.
Franklin saw an opportunity to play on the aliens' inflated perception of themselves.
I am flattered that you rate us so highly. These products are simply a few of our advanced but rare products. I, too, had hoped to impress you to avoid a demonstration of your superior military might.
Zaprok straightened his back and inflated his chest, putting on a conspicuous show of pride.
Now that we are in agreement, we would like to bargain for many truckloads of these items you have shown us.
Okay, but you must understand that we require time to manufacture and deliver these products.
That is understandable. We do not assume that you have developed advanced manufacturing techniques. How many days for the first truckloads?
Well, let me confer with my associate for a moment.
Franklin leaned over and whispered to Lewis.
How long does it take to get an express shipment by FedEx?
2 business days from most places in the country, but I can't speak for such large shipments.
Great. I'm going to tell him 4 days. I've got some ideas for how to supply them until then.
Franklin sat up straight and put on a puppy dog face.
As you know, Zaprok, we are a bit primitive and our transportation technology is slow. We can have the first shipment here in 4 days. However, I can provide some other products from my own personal collection until they arrive.
Yes, 4 days sounds good. We would be honored by the offerings from your personal stocks and accept them in the spirit of friendship.
Franklin was less critical of himself now that trading was strongly in his favor.
14 planets, and he hasn't learned when he's being swindled?
Franklin thought as he flushed with pride.
That's great news, Zaprok. Obviously, we have to draw up a formal contract later to finalize the deal. For now, we have a custom of shaking hands when we make a business deal. Let me show you.
Franklin stood and turned to Lewis.
Shake my hand.
Lewis stood, and they went through the exaggerated motions of shaking hands.
We have a similar custom. We interlock our fingers together. Perhaps we can combine the 2 customs.
Franklin walked to the end of the table and extended his hand. Zaprok interlaced his 4 fingers between Franklin's, and they raised their hands up and down. The ruminantrians brayed in excitement to have brokered a deal. Dust swirled around Franklin's boots as he paced the makeshift command center they'd set up in John Blackcrow's kitchen. Sheriff Tibbetts stood near the screen door, holding a conversation over his radio. Wait one, he said into the mic and turned to Franklin.
Buck Ripley's asking for permission to cross the barricades to photograph the aliens and interview John Blackcrow.
Franklin's jaw clenched. Buck, the singular reporter for the Clear Creek Chronicle weekly newspaper, had an uncanny knack for knowing where and when anything interesting happened in the county. He couldn't stop Buck from publishing a story, but he could limit what information he had.
If John agrees to an interview, tell Buck he and his photographer do it outside the perimeter. And tell him the town can't afford to print a special edition. His story can wait until the Sunday edition. We need a full press blackout until we get a handle on things. That means cordoning off John's property completely.
Travis nodded, already mentally mapping out the logistics.
I don't have enough deputies to maintain an airtight perimeter. I can call the surrounding counties for spare deputies.
Franklin's eyes narrowed.
You think you can get deputies we can trust to stay quiet?
The question was more challenge than genuine inquiry. Small town secrets had a way of spreading faster than a prairie fire, and this was no ordinary secret.
Pretty sure I can. I'll need a signed formal declaration of an emergency so they get paid overtime.
I'd prefer to keep all this unofficial for now. Do the best you can with the deputies you have while minimizing overtime. If word of this gets out too soon, we'll have a three-ring circus we won't be able to control.
Travis's response carried a hint of resignation.
Things like this end up as a three-ring circus eventually. We should get ahead of it and ask for outside assistance sooner than later.
I know, but can you do me a favor and hold off making any calls a while longer? I just need a little more time.
The radio crackled again, a deputy's voice cutting through the tension. Travis's hand hovered near his belt, his response measured but firm as he headed out the door.
I'll follow your orders as long as I can.
But I'm sending up a signal flare at the first sign of any clowns.
Franklin and Lewis stopped by the barn to thank John for his hospitality. As they rode back to town, Franklin brainstormed ideas on what they could trade the aliens.
This is an opportunity few men have been faced with, trade with a newly discovered society.
They're aliens. No one has ever been faced with an opportunity like this.
I meant business opportunity, but yeah, you're right. Funny, I've already stopped seeing them as alien beings.
They look cute with their cow-like bodies and big brown eyes. Maybe we could set up a zoo of sorts. Tourists would surely flock to see aliens at $100 a head for a 5-minute peek.
Lewis, I'm fairly sure no intelligent species would agree to being gawked at like a freak show. I'm thinking a cultural exchange like settlers did with Native Americans. Trade trinkets, basic tools, and appliances in cultural exchanges. Neither side knows the true financial value of what's being traded because the real value is in the foreignness of the items.
Franklin, I never paid much attention in school. Give it to me in plain English.
We go around to everyone with an eBay or Etsy account. Tell them we have a buyer for all their surplus items.
He swatted a fly buzzing about the truck cab.
Have to come up with some way to move things to and from the farm, though.
Why not just hold a swap meet for them?
That's a genius idea, Lewis. Bring the aliens to the sellers and have the sellers handle logistics, but we have to restrict it to the reputable folks, make them sign a non-disclosure agreement before they get to meet the aliens. Can't let word of this get out too soon.
When they arrived back at the town hall, Franklin scheduled a council meeting for tomorrow. He spent the rest of the day rummaging through the warehouse of his store, knocking dust off forgotten boxes and throwing them into the back of his truck. The following morning, the council members and some pillars of the community crowded into the council room. Buck Ripley came with his intern photographer. Franklin stood up to address the crowd. He was wearing a button-down shirt, dress slacks, and his best belt, the belt with the oversized silver buckle inlaid with turquoise in the shape of a roadrunner. He started the meeting upbeat.
For millennia, man has wondered, is there intelligent life out there? Yesterday, we got that answer, and it's presented us with a lucrative business opportunity.
After the initial shock and commotion died down, he, Lewis, and the sheriff recounted the events of the previous day. George Henneberg, a retiree and the former mayor, spoke up.
What's your plan for establishing trade relations with these aliens?
Get them to sign an agreement, promising only to land and do trade here. Give us exclusive rights.
What about the government?
I feel compelled to notify my superiors at the state level about the aliens.
Franklin held up his hands in supplication while addressing the group.
They landed here with the purpose to establish trade relations. I can argue we had to sign an agreement before they decided to leave for another 300 years.
Buck glanced up from his notepad.
Bound to get someone in authority's feathers ruffled if we try to establish binding relationships.
Listen, Travis, Buck, I know you're just trying to do your jobs.
He swept his gaze to make brief eye contact with everyone.
Let's keep this amongst ourselves to give me a little more time to put my plan into motion, okay?
Mayor, everyone in town has seen or heard about the aliens. I can't keep the story out of the paper much longer.
Franklin's tone carried more venom than he intended.
If everyone knows, then it's not exactly front-page news anymore, and it can wait now, can it?
Would help establish our case if we had a printed account of the events. Also consider, if I don't publish a story soon, word gets out, and another paper, heck, possibly a news station, releases a wild, rumor-laden story first.
The sheriff muttered.
Three-ring circus.
Buck's voice carried the desperation of a journalist sensing a career-defining moment slipping away.
Franklin, this is the biggest thing to happen to Clear Creek, and I'm the senior news reporter.
Sheriff Tibbetts shifted his weight, boots scuffing against the worn linoleum floor. His eyes gleamed with ambition.
Like Buck said, this is big, too big to contain. If I establish myself as the lead investigator, we get at least one seat at the table when the state and federal boys take over. It's no secret I want to be more than a county sheriff. This could lead to a position at the state level, maybe even a job in the governor's mansion.
Franklin's gaze froze, a hint of old resentment flickering beneath his surface.
Are your ambitions so great that you can't wait to get out of the county again? Have you forgotten how you were treated on the Kansas City Police Force, the politics they play at that level?
The words hung in the air, a pointed reminder of past failures. Undeterred, Tibbetts squared his shoulders.
I haven't forgotten. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Regardless, I'm obligated to report the aliens to higher authorities. When they learn I delayed, there will be serious repercussions.
They're both right. First contact is too important for a small town like us. We should send the aliens to Topeka and be done with it. We screw this up, and the governor will revoke our incorporation.
The mayor paced the room.
It's no secret, the town. My business, heck. Everyone's businesses only remain open because we keep exchanging the same money with each other. If we don't attract outside cash, there won't be a town.
Franklin's resolve softened, and he took his seat. His voice was low and measured.
I hear both of you, and I get it. But if we do this wrong, we lose all control over the Ruminantrians. Clear Creek becomes a short footnote in history as the original landing site of mankind's first contact with aliens. A golden opportunity literally fell out of the sky. You don't get a better sign of divine providence than that.
The invocation of God elicited a reflexive amen from everyone. Buck shifted on his stool, tapping his pen on the notebook.
Mankind has an opportunity to establish relations not just with the Ruminantrians, but half a dozen or more alien civilizations. No offense, Franklin, but do we really want to risk all that in the hands of a small town mayor? Question our motives all you want, but for Pete's sake, bring in some experts.
For a moment, the room stood suspended in time. Franklin looked around at the expectant faces, Buck's eager anticipation, Tibbetts' barely contained ambition, the silent support of the council members.
You all came to me when they asked for a leader. I believe I've done a good job for all of us so far. Give me one more day to secure a trade deal that benefits everyone. Then, pursue your personal ambitions, however you see fit.
The room quieted while everyone considered their involvement in a historic moment that teetered on a precipice. Lewis was the first to break the silence.
You're all overlooking the most important reason for secrecy. If this works out, we're all going to be multimillionaires.
His enthusiasm was infectious, and the meeting seamlessly moved from the council room to Jake Lawson's bar and grill down the street. The sky was cloudless the next morning with a refreshing breeze to take the edge off the heat. Franklin barked commands when everyone stopped paying attention to look to the heavens. Three glimmering metallic Ruminantrian ships dropped from space and passed low over the town.
Really hard to deny their presence when they announce it to the whole county.
The spectacle over, everyone resumed their preparations. The first intergalactic swap meet of Clear Creek was set up on Franklin's own front yard. He lived at the end of a private road that was ideal for denying access to the uninvited. Sheriff Tibbetts and his deputies carefully inspected every table. No modern computerized or electronic products were allowed, only basic appliances. They also were careful that nothing representing any type of rocket, jet plane, or military weapon would be seen by the aliens. The Ruminantrians were ferried from John Blackcrow's place in the back of horse trailers. When they arrived, Franklin delivered a brief speech. Then the sheriff's lovely young daughter presented Zaprock a large bouquet of flowers, which he promptly ate. The alien leader then addressed the crowd.
"Thank you for your hospitality and the wonderful food. We are eager to browse the trade goods you have assembled. Please do not take offense if we find them humble. We have seen many marvelous things in our travels. We are not easily impressed."
The Ruminantrians wandered to the various displays and asked questions of the vendors. Expressions of amazement and excitement flashed across their faces, contradicting Zaprock's statement. Retired store owner Irene Stilley had set out an array of unsold appliances. One appliance in particular fascinated the Ruminantrian she was speaking with. He let out a braying noise that had all the others running. Irene had a large salad bowl set out on her table and demonstrated the marvels of the Presto salad shooter. They let out such a din of braying and mooing that the other human vendors came over to see what the fuss was all about. In seconds, the Ruminantrian scooped up her five salad shooters. Franklin was squeezing his way towards Irene's table when Zaprock spotted him.
"Mayor Franklin, we must have more of these salad guns."
"Then I will find more."
Being a skilled salesman, he deftly pulled the crowd of Ruminantrians to his own table being tended by his sister Marilyn.
"Good people, let me introduce you to the ultimate solution to all your food storage needs."
He reached down, pulled a handful of grass from his yard, stuffed it inside a plastic bag, and then sealed it shut with a seal Emil. The Ruminantrians did an excited gallop in place until Zaprock whistled through his teeth, which they took as a signal to calm down. Franklin gave Zaprock a wink.
"So how many can I put you down for my friend?"
"A truckload should be plenty, if you can procure that many before we depart."
"Heaven help us if they discover eBay. They're a rare commodity, but I'll scour the planet if that's what it takes to get you a truckload."
Franklin wiped a nervous sweat from his brow. Over the next 4 days, delivery vans poured into the formerly sleepy little town. For all the business the townsfolk had done with the aliens, no one had yet made a dime. What few items of interest the Ruminantrians had offered were only valuable because of their alien origin. Franklin was under pressure to get something of real value from the aliens before they left. According to local lore, Franklin's family first came to Kansas selling snake oil and other bogus remedies nearly 130 years ago. Franklin channeled the spirit of a long-dead relative. Charm oozed from him as he conducted final negotiations with Zaprock.
"Since we have no common currency, perhaps we can arrange a barter system. What are you willing to offer in trade for our goods?"
"We can offer you 5 complete sets of our Encyclopedia Galactica, the complete collection of Kandorian folk songs."
It appeared even Zaprock knew these held little value.
"Perhaps we can owe you payment for the rest."
"Sneaky little fella, trying to slip me an IOU."
Franklin smiled to mask his true feelings.
"I trust you completely, Zaprock, but my people cannot live on the promise of future payments."
"What else will you take in trade?"
The mayor sidled next to Zaprock and whispered into his ear.
"You know my people are primitive compared to yours and are fascinated by all you've offered. I also know you've offered us the trinkets you trade with all the other races."
He stared into the distance toward John Blackcrow's farm.
"We've given you a tractor and combine to grow and harvest your own corn. Surely you must have some machinery of equal value."
After some hushed conversation with his herd mates, Zaprok addressed Franklin.
Would you accept two of our ships in exchange for the farm machinery?
Franklin squinted his eyes and made a show of considering the offer.
I suppose a fleet of spaceships would be useful to establish a trade route with Rumenantria.
You misunderstand. We aren't offering an interstellar spaceship with neutronic fusion drives, but the basic shuttlecrafts at John's farm.
With a noticeable tone of condescension, Franklin stated,
That would explain their small size and meager cargo capacity. What's their range?
Zaprok produced a small holographic device that showed the Milky Way galaxy. A dashed circle encompassed a dozen of the star systems closest to Sol. Lewis walked over and whistled.
That's quiet.
Franklin elbowed him in the ribs.
Disappointing. They really are barely more than a space pickup truck.
He scratched his chin.
I suppose we could agree to take five of them.
Zaprok stomped a hoof.
Five is too many. These shuttles are practically new. Very low mileage and equipped with the new quantum entangled magnetron beacon system for automated navigation. One is fair trade for your non-flying farm machinery.
Does it have a giant spotlight? UFOs in the movies always have a blinding spotlight to beam people up.
Landing lights are mandatory safety equipment that can cut through the fog of a gas giant. They cannot lift objects.
Four makes an even number. Wouldn't you say, Franklin?
The mayor grunted and gazed expectantly at Zaprok. The alien met Franklin's gaze.
Two is also an even number and doesn't make me appear gullible to my herd.
As Franklin and Zaprok stared at each other in a battle of wills, Sheriff Tibbetts walked up and cleared his throat.
Begging your pardons, but the governor is calling for you, mayor.
Maintaining his poker face, Franklin exhaled deeply. The party was about to end. If he didn't make a deal now, Clear Creek was destined to the margins of history. He leaped from his chair and stormed off in a huff, stopped, turned around, and approached the alien trade delegates.
Zaprok, buddy, I've been over so far backwards to give you everything you asked for that I'm about to snap in half. You're making me look like a fool in front of my herd. I hope you have a better offer when I return from my talk with the great leader of Kansas.
Lewis followed after him, but Franklin instructed his brother-in-law to stay with the aliens. He was to convince them. Franklin was deeply insulted. Franklin then endured a 15-minute tongue-lashing from the governor. As expected, the governor harangued him about overstepping his authority. He then told Franklin to expect a visit that afternoon. Still seething from the governor's rebuke, Franklin shuffled to the negotiations tent. He inserted himself between Lewis and Zaprok, his back towards the Rumenantrians. His voice was exasperated, but a sly wink communicated his true intentions to Lewis.
Pack everything up. The governor says I've failed as a trade representative. He won't accept such a lopsided agreement.
Lewis, playing his role, placed a reassuring hand on Franklin's shoulder.
You did your best. 7 years is a respectable run for a mayor. While you prepare to offer your head to the governor, I'll see that the Rumenantrians are returned to the Black Crow farm.
Before Franklin could walk away, Zaprok called out,
Mayor Franklin Worthy, please wait.
Zaprok and the others bent their forelegs to lower themselves, to press their faces into the dirt. It was a level of groveling Franklin found unsettling. Learning prostration was part of their culture, he made a mental note of it. If they were still unwilling to sign an agreement, he might have to resort to kissing the dirt as well.
Mayor Worthy, you have been very generous. Your termination would greatly sadden us. Please accept our apologies.
Apology accepted. You are unfamiliar with our trade customs and could not know how seriously failure is dealt with. We still have time to find a compromise that will make the governor happy enough to spare me.
We will give you 3 shuttles, but you must promise not to use them to trade with the Kandorian or Antares systems.
Zaprok, We are barely more than primitives and could never hope to learn how to fly them. They will go to museums as displays of your superiority and generosity.
Yes, you are right and very intelligent for one of your species. We can see now why you were designated the leader and trade minister for your herd.
Thank you. I'm honored by your compliment.
Franklin was elated the tactic worked.
You buffoon, after we sell them to the government for millions, they'll reverse engineer hundreds of them. Enjoy your trade monopoly while it lasts.
Outwardly, he continued to play the naive negotiator.
Anything else you need before we sign an exclusive trade agreement today?
A small favor. The marketing team would like to record a customer testimonial with Luis. They feel he is most representative of the human species. A standard blurb about how pleased humans are trading with the Ruminantrian Trade Federation.
Franklin laughed at the thought of his brother-in-law being representative of Earth.
You can't use the words human or Earth or in any other way explicitly state Luis speaks for all of humanity. Do we have a deal?
Zaprock offered his hand. Franklin responded with a firm shake and his best election campaign smile. Nearly everyone in town with a truck or trailer helped deliver the boxes of goods the Ruminantrians had bartered for. Franklin supervised the operation from John Black Crow's front porch while the sheriff department directed traffic. John came from the barn where he'd just finished the second milking of the day.
Mayor, I'm having some concerns about how we're taking advantage of these aliens.
Franklin pulled a cold beer from the cooler and offered it to him.
What's wrong, John?
John knocked the bottle cap off on the edge of his belt buckle and then took a swig.
One of the most effective ways settlers destroyed native cultures was by trading goods that made them dependent on the white man.
I appreciate your concern, John.
Rubbing his own cold bottle of beer against his warm forehead, Franklin continued.
Yes, this trade agreement appears lopsided, maybe on par with buying Manhattan Island for some beads. But consider, they came here with armed spaceships prepared to force us to trade with them. If their trade goods were better than ours, the entire planet might have repeated the history of your people.
Wise words that I will think on. Let us hope, then, that our relationship with them remains equitable.
That is something we should all hope for. Speaking of fair trades, I wanted to make a proposal to you about some of your property.
I'm listening.
On behalf of the town, I'd like to buy 15 acres around the landing site. I have some ideas for building a landing pad for them, a visitor center for tourists, and some shops.
I don't want people driving up and down my driveway.
We'll build a separate road out to the main road, even put up a wall so you can keep your privacy. What do you say?
I'll sell on one condition. You must build a museum dedicated to the Native Americans and the buffalo that once lived here. Remember, the aliens came here looking for them.
The town will give you top dollar for the land. You can use the money to build a museum on your land next to the site.
John shook his head and studied Franklin's eyes.
It's not just about the money. Becoming a buffalo keeper on behalf of the Ruminantrians is a sacred role for me. The museum is non-negotiable.
He continued, his voice tightening.
What if the first human they met didn't speak Cheyenne or know Kansas's history? Would they have flown away, never to return, or, worse, attacked us like they threatened?
Franklin took a long, slow sip on his beer while the gravity of both possibilities hung heavy between them. His expression softened while he mulled over how to proceed.
You're right, John. We owe everything to you. The site will need a visitor center and gift shop. Your museum could hold both. We can even have guides to walk visitors through the museum to provide an orientation briefing. Reduce the possibility of misunderstandings between tourists and any visiting Ruminantrians.
The two men shook hands, an act as binding as a written agreement. They ambled over to the cluster of spacecraft and buzz of activity in the cornfield. The Ruminantrians finished loading their ships with boxes of highlighter pens, rolls of paper towels, and crates of canned green beans and spinach. Zaprok gave a blustering speech and made magnanimous gestures as he presented the three shuttlecraft promised in the trade agreement. Franklin bowed and scraped in what he considered the appropriate manner.
Zaprok, I want to thank you profusely for all that your people have done. I'm genuinely pleased to have met you, and I hope our herds can continue to do more business in the near future.
Mayor Warty, we too are unexpectedly pleased. The fleet commander was reluctant to divert from our course, believing Earth to be a backwater. We assure you we will return to buy more of your salad shooters and Sila meals. Until then, may your fields remain green and fertile.
Unable to think of anything suitably appropriate, without thinking, Franklin responded,
"Live long and prosper."
He felt moronic for saying it, but it made Zaprok do the first in-place gallop Franklin had witnessed him perform. With a quiet roar that sounded like a bracing windstorm, the Ruminantrian ships ascended into the clear blue sky. The assembled townsfolk and council members waved as the ships became distant specks. Franklin couldn't help laughing as he thought,
"Thanks for shopping at Earth. Come back soon."
Lewis placed a hand on his shoulder.
"You know, the governor is going to confiscate most of what we traded for."
Franklin eyed the fortune cookie-shaped spaceships in front of him with a wicked grin.
"Yeah, but before he does, what say we take one of these up for a spin? I'll even let you turn on the landing lights and give his motorcade a scare."
Time is precious and limited. I hope you found this story worthy of your time. For more ebooks and audiobooks by Neural Splice, visit www.neuralsplice.com.